You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Here to share their sight loss story today is Matthew Johnson. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Before we do a proper deep dive, I know we've got loads and loads to cover. Can you tell us a wee bit about your sight loss, please?
So I was born blind, optic nerve hyperplasia, and have never had anything above very, very rudimentary light perception.
You're from Bermuda originally. Can you give us a wee bit of a flavour of what it was like growing up there as somebody with sight loss?
So first thing to keep in mind about Bermuda is it's 65,000 people, it's 20 square miles, and it's a British colony in the middle of the Atlantic. That is a basic descriptor of the island, famous mostly for tourism, rum, and tax evasion. What my journey was, becoming one of the first blind people there to receive anything more than just a primary education. And it was the 90s. People weren't really sure, who to ask. Obviously, there wasn't the infrastructure for the internet and social media that there was now for parents to connect across different countries. My parents had to sort of figure it out as we went along.
And how did that kind of manifest itself? Because it's not the most easy of things to come to terms with and deal with throughout your schooling and so on.
I had a couple of very fortunate things going for me there. First was that my parents refused to take no for an answer ever, a trait which I inherited for better and worse. And I had an assistant was American trained to read Braille and to do sort of some of the blindness skill work, not necessarily mobility or whatever, even though she certainly did that in the end. But she was coming at it at least from a background of some knowledge, and she worked in Bermuda at that time. Those were kind of my two sort of North Stars in terms of figuring out where to go with things. But how it manifested essentially was, well, we're going to give you a cane and we're going to let you into the school building a week or something before it starts so that you can learn the roots with parents or my assistant at the time. And we're going to give you a copy of Jaws on a laptop that we had to fundraise for, but we don't know how to use it. So good luck with that. Or a Braille note taker. That was also part of it. So it was a lot of trial and error, figuring out what worked and getting through it, I think was the way I would describe it.
Yes, certainly. It certainly builds up an awful lot of resilience, particularly at such a young age as well.
You got to do what you got to do.
You certainly do. Now, you also did a bit of fundraising yourself. How did that come about? Is that just down to the not taking no for an answer?
A bit of that, yeah. We had some affiliation with the Lions Club, if you've heard of that, the international charity. And a couple of times when I was 11, 12, 13, when I needed, for example, the laptop or the JAWS license or whatever thing I needed. And also I was fundraising to pay for that assistant that was there to help, because obviously she needed, her own income source. We would do fundraising presentations at these dinners with donors and stuff like that, where I would sort of explain what I was doing, what I was intending to do, what my grades had been, how money would be used, etc., and sort of field questions from people. And I did a couple of those between the ages of 10 and 13. And thankfully, we got money from them that I was able to continue doing what I was doing.
It almost seems from like a very early age that this was your route to being exactly where you are now. You're a lawyer now. So my question for this is twofold. Like, was that always the plan, like with these skills that you've had? You go, oh, I'm obviously going to be a lawyer. Second part is that what adaptations have you had to make in your job as a lawyer, as somebody with sight loss?
To be honest, the lawyer thing started as a joke and then became a reality. I don't know if it was the daredevil jokes or the response was that I always had a counter argument growing up, right? Whether it was a good one or not is open for interpretation. But the comment made by everyone that I knew was that I always had an argument in the bank ready to deploy. So it then became a reality. And one of the reasons for that was my parents had always said, mom had always said to me, look, in Bermuda, there ain't no benefits, right? There's nothing to fall back on. That was kind of always the mentality that I grew up with. So part of it was, okay, well, I need to find a career that allows me the degree of physical and financial independence that is an accessible career. And obviously the blind lawyer thing is a stereotype. I was tempted by a lot of things. I did languages, so I was considering being an interpreter. I was into tech. I was desperately wanted to do music, and my parents put the stop to that pretty quick. It came out that, well, this was a good career option. It was a very pragmatic, logical choice to do that. The adaptations. In terms of adaptations in law, so I work as a solicitor for an international firm. I do IT and data privacy law across about 6 or 7 jurisdictions. And what that mostly looks like is, of course, screen reading software, scripts for Access, an assistant funded by Access to Work to handle some of the nitty-gritty things, whether that be client meetings, going to client meetings, going to client sites, setting up for presentations, all those kind of things, as well as some of the more formatting related, appearance of document type work. So between a screen reader, good scripting, a good assistant, and a firm that is willing to hear you on all of those things, you absolutely can get there. The hard thing, frankly, and it's hard for any lawyer, and it's doubly hard for us, is to get in the door. You know, you have a law degree, but then how do you get the training contract? How do you get the mentoring that you need? That is incredibly difficult for anyone, and it's very difficult for us.
And finally, Matthew, if you get any advice for listeners perhaps recently diagnosed with an eye condition themselves and are coming to terms of life with sight loss.
Depends on where you are. If you are, young enough that you're still looking for a career or you're considering different career options, what I would say is that if you're seeking work and seeking independence, choose based on that. Make a pragmatic choice that you can live with, because sometimes the pursuit of passion is very much the pursuit of penury or being completely reliant on other people for survival. So make a pragmatic choice and make it work for you. For those going through it perhaps a little bit later with an established career, I'm trying to understand the question of, well, can I continue to thrive and function? Can I be a professional as a completely blind person? There are so many of us out there who would answer that with a very resounding yes, you can. And yes, it takes some work, some elbow grease, and some swearing, but it's very possible to do that. And I think as long as you sort of go into it with, a certain day might be terrible, but overall we're moving forward, you get where you want to go.
Fantastic stuff. Well, Matthew Johnton, thank you so much for joining us here on R&I Beacon at Radio and sharing your sight loss story with us.
Thanks a lot.